are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, year-end tax tips from an expert. Dr. Frieda makes another visit to the show to help us survive annoying relatives during the holidays. Now, that's useful, isn't it? And since not a whole lot is going on at the box office this weekend, Manny the Movie Guy will offer his favorite movies of the year, and he might mention what's happening at the box office if there's any time left. Joining me today in the studio is one of the very few people on this planet who gets the irony in my show introduction. It's Chris Martin.
Speaking of box office, the highly anticipated Star Wars movie has broken records and even the internet on its way to this weekend's big opening.
What's that called again? What is it?
The intranet.
No.
The interweb.
The movie?
Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
You'll have to tell me about that later.
Sure.
Hey, if you listen to the program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a 5-star review. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes read your comments and then they use the Force to push us up the list and feature us right there on the iTunes homepage. Give us a 5-star review, too, will you? Thanks. We asked politely. I said thanks. Please and thanks. You're welcome.
Good manners will get you everywhere in life.
Yes. Okay, bye. All right, so let's get things rolling. Chris, you're up because there are no other choices at the moment, but just the same. It's always good to have you here on the show, and you bring the good stuff. And Star Wars, this thing, it's probably the biggest movie ever, isn't it?
So far, that's what it looks like it's going to be. Now, we don't know until after the opening weekend box office results, but one of the interesting stories that are coming out of its releases, Fandango, which is where a lot of us get our movie tickets, our pre-sale tickets, announced today that the pre-sale tickets for the Star Wars movie have broken the record for the most tickets in the site's history.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Did the website break?
Well, many websites broke. Actually, back in October, The Force Awakens crashed ticket sales sites because of all the heavy traffic, and not just Fandango, but several ticket sites had to wait for traffic to die down before they could get all the pre-sale orders out.
Oh, can you believe it? Man,
so I can.
Everybody's going to see Star Wars.
Yes, that's what it sounds like.
Once or twice.
The film is actually projected to bring in north of $200 million this weekend in the United States alone.
Wow.
So imagine what it's going to do overseas. The overseas numbers, some people don't know, are actually usually higher than our domestic totals.
And do they track intergalactic numbers as well?
We don't have the ability to do that yet, but I hear the guys over at SETI are working on that.
Good. Nice to know.
By the way, Disney did chime in on this story. They don't want fans to panic. They don't want them to fear not being able to see the movie because they're opening the film in an astonishing 4,100 theaters, way up there on the list. So just about every movie theater in the country is going to have Star Wars available.
And you know what? If you don't see it this weekend, it's still going to be there next weekend.
And the weekend after that, and the weekend after that, and probably for the next 12 to 15 weekends.
When I do go to the movies, and that's very infrequently, maybe once a year, I go in like the fifth week. There are three previews and a turn off your cell phone thing and don't forget to eat some popcorn. And that's it. You go the first weekend, what is it, 90 minutes of commercials and previews and all kinds of crap and noisy people and costumes and laser pointers and all that kind of stuff.
I can only imagine what a ruckus mess it's going to be in those movie theaters. Some people really enjoy that experience. I, just like you, Phil, I'm not one of them.
Can you have a ruckus without it being a mess?
I think you can. I think it's possible. And by the way, mess might not be the right descriptive term. I don't know that it's going to get real messy in there. Although, yeah, when you cram that many people into a theater, it's probably going to get messy.
It's a hootenanny.
It is.
To use another word that's inappropriate.
Good old hootenanny.
So if people aren't buying tickets to see Star Wars, is there any other form of entertainment out there for the holidays?
We do love our music, Phil. We love our music and vocal powerhouse Adele's tickets for her first North American tour in 5 years go on sale today. Apparently, that's a big announcement.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and on the list of venues is Six Nights at the Staples Center in L.A. in August. And a lot of these ticket sales locations are encouraging fans to buy tickets for big venues like Staples and probably some in New York now, even though it's nine months down the road.
Wow.
So they don't sell out. And she's doing six nights at the Staples Center. I don't know how many
in Los Angeles, but this is a nationwide tour.
Nationwide tour. And let's see. Tickets are going to range from $40 to $150.
What if I want to?
So not real expensive.
What if I want to sit on a stool on the stage right next to Adele while she's singing? Will she sell a stool?
I don't know if you can get it on a stool right next to her on stage. I think if you tried, you'd probably be taken out by her Secret Service.
No, but if she sold it, I mean, wouldn't that be a good promotion? Because Adele's known for just sitting down while she sings, right?
Mm-hmm.
She'll probably get up a little more these days. I mean, she's a working mom. She's got a kid at home, so she's got to keep the heart rate going. She's got to get up and walk around from time to time. So she'll get up out of that chair and walk around, say hello to the saxophone player, and they'll go back and sit down again, do some more singing. But if she sold a stool, and if you promised, you signed a waiver and just said that you would sit there politely and maybe take a couple of selfies during the show and not bother anybody, would you pay a couple grand to sit on that stool?
I'm sure there's people that would pay a lot more than that to sit on stage with Adele. But I have a question for you, Phil. Are you saying that if you were a vocalist or a rock star, you would be a Mick Jagger type? You'd be all over the stage carrying the microphone stand with you,
yeah,
stomping up and down?
I would, yes.
Getting a wiggle going?
I'd be throwing stuff at the audience, and I'd probably stage dive into the audience, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a rocker.
Yeah.
At heart.
I'm the real deal, man.
Yes.
Except, and I'm at least half as awkward looking as Mick Jagger is.
He doesn't look so bad, I guess.
Well, we've come
compared to Keith Richards, he's doing all right.
Look, we've become accustomed to Mick Jagger's awkwardness and have kind of, I don't know, we've looked at it for so long, and now we think of it as more of an innovation in movement than an awkward movement, right?
Yeah, you're right, though. His chicken leg gyrations up there.
It's his thing. And yeah, that's
very Mick Jagger.
It's what he does. I mean, he's got rhythm, but it doesn't translate so much into a fluid kind of thing. It's more spastic and awkward.
And blocky, yeah.
Yeah, but it works for him. And I'm just saying I'm at least half that awkward. Although I think when I'm on stage, I do look awkward.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's why I would dive off the stage into the fans.
Give me a little example of what it looks like when you dance and gyrate on stage.
Oh, do we have cameras on this?
Yeah, we have cameras all throughout the studio.
All right, just hum me a little tune.
Hum you a little tune. Good Lord, that's putting me on the spot. Oh my gosh, you look like you're having a seizure, Phil.
It's my thing. See, after a while, you do that long enough, people will say, "Yeah, that's great." That's the Phil Hewlett.
All your extremities just contracted real close to your body. Your eyes squinted closed, and I felt like I might need to give you a CPR if you didn't stop.
Oh gosh. All right, are we done talking about me?
Yeah, I could ask more
I hope
questions,
so, but we do have more music. In fact, coming up next, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has officially, how many groups?
Five.
They officially have inducted five more music acts, and you will hear music from all five of them, and you will be surprised at which one, maybe number three might be surprising to you. I think I'm going with number three, and that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Show, everybody. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Chris is here. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Love them or hate them or like them, whatever it is that you do with them. They're over there in Cleveland where they rock. And very often, bands that get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will, at the very least, cause you to have a discussion with your friends as to whether that group is worthy. Right? Do they fall under your heading of or the definition of rock and roll? And very often, people will say, no! What happened to this band? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they in? Because this band's only been around for that long, and my band is better than your band.
And this band has this many number one hits, and that band has none.
And then a lady walks up and tells the DJ to play something good. See, everybody has an opinion about music. It's very difficult to figure it out, to make everybody happy with music. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is never going to make everybody happy.
Right.
So in the spirit of pissing you off, let's tell you who the inductees are this year in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Chris?
Yes. And like them, love them, or hate them, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does get a lot of buzz each and every year. And the 2016 inductees were announced today. They include some of my favorite bands and some that you could argue might not even be rock and roll. But we'll start out with, how about Steve Miller?
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Time keeps on slipping. How about that? Right?
To me, it's a no-brainer. Steve Miller was one of my favorite bands growing up, still to this day. Just a ton of hits, although I think you would argue that case.
Well, I don't know. He's a fixture mostly for the 70s. He had, I think his career started in the 60s, if I'm not mistaken, but more of a, like a blue-eyed soul kind of. Is he Detroit? Is he Detroit? No? He's from Michigan, isn't he? I want to say he's from Michigan.
I believe he's from San Francisco.
Oh, well, that's completely different then.
I
may have him mistaken for somebody else.
He has been around a long time, though.
Yeah, and if you just give, everybody knows the song we just played. But if you just give his entire music catalog a quick perusing, you'll see, I don't know, four or five different styles of music in there.
And 10 to 15 songs that you've heard multiple times.
And you'll say, wow, I didn't know that was Steve Miller. Yeah, I guess I do like that guy. All right, fine. And he was one of the few guys that could get on stage 40 or 50 pounds overweight and nobody would have a problem with it.
Mike's cracking up back there. Yeah. And he's one of the only guys that could sing about his grandpa, who's 95. He keeps on dancing. He's still alive.
Yeah?
Yeah. His grandma, she's 92, loves to dance and sing some too.
Yeah, what? Look at you.
Who uses lyrics like that? I mean, come
on. Nobody but you.
How about this one? Cheap Trick.
Now, at the very least, Cheap Trick deserves kudos for revealing to the rest of the world that in Japan, when the kids would go to concerts, they were not allowed to get up out of their seats. And for a very long time, they were not allowed to make any noise. And so, but that changed, I think, well before Cheap Trick. But they were not allowed to get up out of their seats. And all that noise you hear with the Cheap Trick Live in Budokan album, with the kids just going insane, they're more or less sitting on their hands during the entire concert. Nobody's allowed to get up. They'd get hauled out of that place if they stood up during the concert.
Nobody move a muscle.
Yeah.
But make sure to scream as loud as you can.
So that was all made very evident to us when the Cheap Trick Live in Budokan came out. And that's when everybody kind of caught on to Cheap Trick, myself included. I was in college at the time, in college radio. And some of the older kids, the hipper kids who were involved in college radio, were trying to convince me to get a little more interested in the new wave and the punk scene, right? And I knew about the Sex Pistols and about Black Flag and I don't know, Devo and a couple of groups like that. I was just kind of catching on to it because I came from the
Ramones.
I came from the Led Zeppelin, Blue Oyster Cult kind of thing. So. I was talking to the one guy, and he was telling me, yeah, you got to get into these kinds of bands. I said, like who? Like Cheap Trick? And he practically practically decked me
he
right
scoffed
there.
At
he
you?
Scoffed at me. Yeah, Cheap Trick to me though is really unusual. There's a, you know, a guy on the drums with a bow tie and a did he smoke a cigar while he played too, or he had some kind of weird affected thing, a stogie and a cigarette, right? A Chipperillo. I don't know what it was. And then Rick Nielsen, is that his name? The guitar player, he's something else. He was a character. And then the two pretty boys on leads, and so it was just an interesting group. And so yeah. I say yes. I vote. Maybe they jumped ahead of a couple of people, but I think time is right. Cheap Trick, good.
Speaking of interesting groups, how about these guys, Deep Purple?
Oh, are you kidding me? Why aren't they already in?
Most memorable guitar riff of all time right here. One of, anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You can thank Metallica. And I know the guys over at Guitar Center thank Metallica for coming up with a riff or two that the punks would come in and pick up a guitar and plug it in and start playing there in the Guitar Center, because that was the riff that everybody used to play. So if they didn't play that, they'd play Stairway to Heaven, and then they'd play Enter Sandman. So those are the three riffs that everybody knows on a guitar at Guitar Center. Yep. So, but definitely, I learned how to play piano listening to Ritchie Blackmore guitar solos, and he's the guitarist in Deep Purple.
Does it translate well on piano?
Yeah, but it doesn't translate well when you want to play actual piano music.
Mm. Curious to see what you think about these guys. They were the number one fan vote, by the way, by a landslide. 37 million fans voted to make sure that Chicago was inducted.
Chicago wasn't already in?
25 or 6 to 4.
By the way, the
big band sound, which is cool.
Every time you hear the interviews with the bands, they say, no, we hate this song. This is our worst song ever. But it's probably their most popular song. But my thinking is, we're just getting around to the time when a band like Cheap Trick needs to get in. And how in the world did Deep Purple and Chicago only now getting in? It seems like there's a lag of about 15 years in there somewhere.
Mm, yeah. A lot of people upset about some of the bands that don't get in. The Moody Blues also.
They're not in yet?
No. But finally, the fifth band that will be inducted into the 2016 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Arguable whether or not this is rock and roll, but N.W.A.
Straight out of Compton, crazy mother named Ice Cube. From the gang called Tigers with Attitudes. When I'm called off, I got a sawed off. Squeeze a trigger and bodies are hauled off.
I seem to remember their lyrics to be a little harder than that.
What? It took Mike 90 minutes to edit out all of the foul language just in that 60-second clip.
All right, fine. Well, you know what? If you're judging purely on impact in the music scene, you got to give it to them. But then again, I'm thinking, okay, Deep Purple and Chicago just got in, and N.W.A. They made their splash when in the late '80s.
Yeah, but they had a resurgence this year with their movie Straight Outta Compton. That movie's now critically acclaimed,
right,
Academy
right.
Awards,
okay, fine.
All
so
of that. So.
There's an opening, get in.
They
it.
Boosted back up to the forefront. A few of the Hall of Fame snubs include Janet Jackson, mm-hmm. who's been on the ballot several times, The Cars,
yeah,
and Yes, just to name a few.
Yes is still not in?
Nope.
Oh. Gosh.
Again, the induction ceremony will be held in New York on April 8th, 2016.
All right, I've chosen not to tell my annual Yes story. I did. I think I told it already when they talked about who was potentially going to be when Yes was nominated again. So I told my Yes story about the girl in my literature class. I'm not going to tell.
I don't
story
remember again. It, Grandpa Phil. Tell it again.
No, I'm not going to tell it again. I'll tell it next year when Yes is nominated again.
All right.
All right. I do have a music story for you. Remember when Gretchen Wilson sang about keeping her Christmas lights on her front porch all year long in Redneck Women?
Sure do. I don't think she's had a hit song since.
No.
Poor thing.
Yeah. It is kind of a white trash thing to do, to leave your Christmas lights on your house all year long. In my city, where I live, they have a code enforcer that drives around, and if after, I think, January 5th, if the lights are still on your house, you get a ticket.
Well, is it expensive, the ticket?
Well, you know, if you don't pay it, sure. But I think it's like a $45 ticket. And then if you don't pay it, it goes up to $90, and then it goes up to $180, and it just keeps going.
Yeah. They just want you to clean up the neighborhood. You derelict, get those down.
Yeah, we got to keep home prices high. You know, pride of ownership. What's the matter with you?
Curb appeal.
Take your trash cans in. Get the car off of the blocks.
Yeah.
Anyway, where was I with this? Oh, yeah. So Gretchen Wilson, redneck women. So the perception is that it's kind of a white trash thing to keep your lights on all year long. And well, let's admit it, you're just lazy. Well, Miranda Lambert, you know who that is?
Yeah, she's been in the news a lot lately. She's, something about Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani.
Sure, sure. She's living this this redneck paradise. She says, quote, "Actually, my lights are still up and have been since last Christmas, so the good thing was I didn't have to restring them this year because they're already up. It's celebration all year round at my house. How about that?
How about that? That is redneck.
Yeah.
I could see him on your back porch, you know, like a nice string light going around your back porch.
Back so porch.
Yeah, your back porch, then when you're putting on a barbecue or something.
I got little lights out there.
Well lit, yeah.
Yeah. Well. Hey, ambiance. George Lucas, by the way, gave Mel Brooks permission to parody Star Wars with Spaceballs. He just had one rule, no merchandising. Brooks agreed, and Lucas's Industrial Light and Magic Company did the special effects for that movie. Did you know that?
Funny movie. I did not know that.
Hey, there is a little movie coming out this weekend. Maybe you've heard of it. It's an art house piece set in the future with furry animals and lots of fighting action. Manny the Movie Guy joins us next to tell us what all the buzz is about. And he has a list of his favorite movies of this year, 2015. He joins us next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, it's time to find out what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex this weekend. You may or may not know that at one time Santa used to say, ho, 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 ho. Joining us live is the man who stole one of Santa's hoes, KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
And I still have it, mind you.
That's a pull quote right there. We're going to use that one. All right. Manny, nice to talk to you. And this will, by the way, I believe be the last time we talk to you this year.
Until January, that's right.
Yeah, so you've got a list of your favorite movies of the year. But before we get into that...
Oh, no, we're not going to talk about my favorite movies until January. We're going to talk about the Christmas releases. Look.
Of course, that makes total sense. Well, not yet. Let's not do that yet.
Not yet.
Because there's a little... I teased this earlier. There's a little art house flick set in the future with furry animals that is opening this weekend. And there's a lot of buzz about it.
Yeah, I think the force is strong with this indie film. It is. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Tuesday, I saw this film at the Disney lot, and I always love going to the studios because, you know, you feel like you're closer to the movie you're watching for some reason.
Of course.
And it was so cool. I went there at 10 in the morning, and I saw it, and I walked out, and we were strongly. We're prohibited to talk about the movie.
You were admonished.
Yes, it was embargoed. We could not talk about it. So I did like a little silent review of the film, and let me tell you, I clapped, I cried, and I gave the heart to the film, all with no words.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But you know what, though, seriously? No review can do justice with this film. You just have to go inside the movie and go in there with a fresh perspective, because I don't want to ruin it for you. There's a lot of like major plot points that you'll be like, you know, you'll cry, you'll laugh, and you'll get scared with all this major plot.
You know what? I mean, I know I'm going to like it. Mm-hmm. And I know it's difficult to judge just from the little bits that I've seen, but from the trailer and the commercials that I've seen, It looks a little hokey, almost like a low budget TV show.
It is not, and that's, you know why? If you look at all the old Star Wars films, they all look hokey now, like a little, you know, like small budget TV show. And that's the magic of this film, is because J.J. Abrams, the brilliant guy who reinvigorated the Star Trek series, is now bringing his same magic to the Star Wars, and he what he did really, really well is simultaneously giving us what we love about Star Wars while introducing new characters, planets, and drama. Oh, and drama you will get.
Oh, great.
Even the cinematography really copied the old way of how George Lucas did it in the past.
Yeah. So
not the super pristine HD quality that we saw in the prequels. This is a direct sequel from Return of the Jedi, and watching this reminds me of watching the original movie A New Hope.
That's great. So can you see the wires holding up the Death Star?
No, but there's one scene where the ship that the rebels are using,
uh-huh.
There's that one scene where it actually almost looked like someone is moving it.
Kind
of cool. And I think it's an homage to the original.
That's awesome.
I love it.
That's
great. And honestly, and I can tell you this, I'll give you a little tease. I think I'm going to put Star Wars as one of my favorite films, my top 10 favorite films of the year.
Wow.
You're not the only one. The critics are raving. Something like 96% on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics and 99% from the viewers.
Well, those guys all jumped the embargo. You're not allowed to talk about it and all those critics?
No. Well, yesterday, as soon as the embargo was lifted yesterday, it was free for all.
All right. Now, does Princess Leia make a comeback in this movie?
Yes.
All right.
Everyone, when you see the original cast, you're like, oh, my childhood is all over the big screen.
How about Landau Kardashian? Is he in there?
No.
No? Okay.
Yes. but here's
that his name? That wasn't his name.
Lando Calrissian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this one has the best ending ever.
Oh.
That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
Without ruining it.
Somebody gets it in the end.
Yes.
Oh.
Almost. You'll see.
Okay. Yeah, I like that little chuckle. Now, there's other movies coming out, and what's this movie Sisters all about?
Oh, yeah. There's another movie out this weekend. It's all about Star Wars, you know.
Right.
This one stars the NBC darlings, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and it's called Sisters.
Yeah.
And, of course, they played sisters in the film. Poehler is the sweet one. Faye's the bad girl. She can't hold a job. She has no place to live, which makes it hard because she has a teenage daughter who wants her to wake up and start becoming an adult. But when their parents, played by James Brolin and Diane Weiss, decided to sell their home, their childhood place they both grew up in, problems arise.
Yeah.
I love this film. It's funny, heartfelt, and both Faye and Poehler can do comedy magic, as we've seen even in the Golden Globes together, hosting the Golden Globes. They carry this film from start to finish. Sisters is from the director of the original Pitch Perfect, Jason Moore. Some jokes. Very few fall flat, but most will make you laugh out loud.
Hmm. You know what? I've got to give kudos to Tina and Amy for being fearless and releasing their movie this weekend.
Yeah.
They get credit just for that.
Well, would you give Alvin and the Chipmunks credit as well for releasing their fourth film?
No.
They're trying to grab the holiday market.
Every time we drive past the Alvin billboard on the freeway, on the highway, my wife says, why in the world is there another Alvin and the Chipmunks movie? Why do they keep making
those?
Money, 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 money.
Yeah, I guess the kids want to see it. All right, let's talk about what's worth seeing. The best Christmas movies of the year, according to Manny the Movie Guy. Ready?
First up, we have The Hateful Eight. It's in limited release for Oscar consideration and will go wide on January 1st. Written and directed by Tarantino, this western is set just a few years
after. That's a Christmas movie?
It is a Christmas movie. They're releasing this in limited in L.A. It will be released in Christmas.
Oh, Christmas releases. Yeah, now, what is the list? I don't understand.
No, because in Christmas, it's a last minute, final dash for Hollywood to release films.
Oh, okay. So,
I'm talking about the films that are being released on Christmas.
All right, good. Then you just go ahead. I'll sit here quietly because I obviously don't have a clue what I'm talking
about. Well, The Hateful Eight is good. It gets 3.5 bloody kisses from me.
Ooh.
Enjoy. Jennifer Lawrence stars in a title role loosely inspired by the life of Joy Mangiano, inventor of the Miracle Mop. This one's from David O. Russell, a great auteur who has given us American Hustle, Three Kings and the Silver Linings Playbook. Joy is the least inspired among his films, though. Russell failed to set a tone to match Lawrence's pitch-perfect acting.
Okay.
Same thing with Concussion. Will Smith stars as a doctor who discovered CTE, that's chronic traumatic encephalopathy for you.
Mm.
In Football Players, the film tells the story of his uphill battle to bring the information to the public. Smith gives a strong performance, but the film is a bit melodrama with corny speeches about how great America is. Same thing can be said with The Revenant. I enjoyed The Revenant as well, but the full story is not as well told the cinematography is amazing, and I predict that it will win Best Cinematography at the Oscars.
Okay.
Leonardo DiCaprio also gave a fantastic performance, but it's also just a so-so film, you know, Three Kisses.
Yeah, all right. So we had Hateful Eight, we had Joy, there was...
Concussion.
Concussion. Revenant.
Yeah.
And there was one more.
That was all of them.
No, there was one more. Was there not?
No.
What? No, the comedian guy, the anchorman.
Oh, the daddy.
What's it called?
Oh, yeah, Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, the Will Ferrell movie. What's
Daddy's
that?
Daddy's Home or something like that.
Yeah, well, that one hasn't been shown to critics yet.
But that's not on your list.
It's not on my list.
Okay.
I'm talking about the Oscar quality films.
Yeah, gotcha.
Manny, isn't The Hateful Eight so long that it actually has an intermission in the middle of it?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, though, to be honest, I enjoy the film. I don't think it deserves a 3-hour-plus.
It's three and a half hours or something.
You know, if they were serving beer at the theater, I'd say, okay, fine, go ahead.
Can, but you know what, though? I love it because, you know, Tarantino's vision of the 70mm, you know, he brings back 70mm, and it's amazing.
Manny, themovieguy.com. Will people be able to see your pantomime review of Star Wars?
Of course, it's already on my website.
Oh, go there and look at it. It is worth $1 million, and so are you, Manny. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you in 2016.
May all your wishes come true in 2016.
Yeah. Oh, same to you. Thank you, Manny.
Thank you.
All right. Now, they're here for the holidays, the relatives. And boy, are they annoying. How can you hold your act together without getting booted from the will? Dr. Frieda joins us live with her survival tips next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, here we go. Everybody loves their relatives, right? Of course you do. But what about your annoying relatives? You know who they are. And they're coming over to the house.
If you don't know who they are, you might be the annoying relative.
They're coming to your house for a week during the holidays. They're going to stay while you're trying to get your gifts together and your cooking and cleaning and your work and whatever else you do during the holidays. There they are, cramping your style, sticking their nose into your business. You're about to explode, aren't you? But before you do, joining us live is the author of the book, What Price Power? An In-Depth Study of the Professional Woman in a Relationship. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Dr. Frieda, we love when you're on the show.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much.
Because you have so much insight into so many things that we experience, and common sense, because very often our common sense leaves. It goes right out the door with our food scraps. And we're left thinking, what am I to do? Well, that's why you're here, Dr. Frieda, and we thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Now, it's mighty gracious of me and whoever else does it to offer up the house for the holidays, right?
I hope you can have some joy eventually from that as well.
Yeah, well, that's the idea. Now, what makes some relatives so annoying? What do they do to test the nerves?
Well, you know, they're nosy. They want to know why someone's not married yet, what is happening with your college career if you're going to college, why didn't you not find that job?
Yeah.
It was a question putting you on the spot that they have to know at that moment during this gathering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's that little passive-aggressive, things they do, too, like running their finger along the top of a shelf or something to see if there's any dust.
Yeah, that's so lovely.
Yeah, isn't it? They all do that. Why? It's somewhere. They go to school to learn these things. And then they set these little traps. And you know what I mean, right? I mean,
yeah, they're jealous. They, you know, you made that party. You went to all this trouble. It's a great accomplishment to do something like that. So you know what? They're going to find fault over your generosity. People are uncomfortable.
And if you don't know what the traps are, you don't have your eye out for them, you could fall right into them, and it's over. You know, you're sitting down at the dinner table for Christmas dinner or whatever kind of dinner you're having this time of year, and all of a sudden, boom, there's the topic. There's the trap, and you want to get in and just talk it up. Maybe you're incensed that the topic even came up, but if you tread into those waters, it's all over, right?
You have to avoid these situations. And one big thing to do is to make sure that who sits on either side of you and in front of you are people you can relate to. Otherwise, you're trapped for 3 hours and miserable. So you have to really be careful who you're sitting next to avoid or any of these topics of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another good thing to do is to pawn this person over to somebody else. So if you're uncomfortable with what they're telling you or you're bored out of your mind, you just say, you know what, Harry, I want you to meet John.
Mm-hmm.
He's an expert with computers.
Yeah.
And
you slip John a $100 bill.
And it's well worth it.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. You should carry a few $100 bills around just for this alone.
It's the holidays. And so avoid the politics, religion, all the regular things. Now, what do you recommend you do if you don't pawn them off on during the dinner to Uncle John? What do you recommend you do with them during the week? Can you put them on a train, send them off to a theme park with some tickets, drop them off, and pick them up later?
That's not a bad idea. I really like that. But here's another thing. Just in case it doesn't work, you can actually pretend you have an errand and go away. And come back after you've
got a few drinks
at your local bar and really had a great time.
Yeah.
And then you can really tolerate much more after that. So a few drinks does help, you're right.
Would it be okay to ask them to clean up after themselves?
Well, you know, anything to get them off of your back, anything to distract them.
Yeah, here's a bucket and some gloves. Here, go to town in that bathroom, will you?
Go ahead. Go clean the dishes and wash the floor for me. I wouldn't mind. I would appreciate it, really, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen, is it? I mean, when you try to be a good host or hostess, when you have people over to the house and you do things for them, you don't want them to raise a finger, but that ends up biting you in the behind, doesn't it?
What happens is that the more you give, the more people feel that they have to give back. So if they can find some kind of distraction and find some kind of fault, then it makes them feel more comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But there are ways to keep them at bay also. You know, just eating turkey itself, you know, turkey puts you to sleep.
Yeah.
And when you're eating more, I'm not saying you're drugging them, but they do get more tired.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad idea.
That's a hot tip right there. I like that.
Turkey omelet for breakfast, turkey sandwich for lunch.
Yeah.
We don't serve drugs in this home, but, you know, have some turkey instead.
Yeah. Now, I think maybe at some point you're going to start looking at your Hyatt rewards card and think, you know what, if I just booked a hotel room for the rest of the week and took them over there and say, hey, you know what, make something up. I had a voucher, and I thought maybe, you know, while you're out here, why not live the rest of the week in luxury, and I got you a hotel room. Can you get to that point and say, you know what, this isn't working out. Let's get you a room.
It's not a bad idea, because if someone is constantly antagonizing you, and you have gone to so much trouble, after all, you know, the days are getting shorter, you have all these errands, you have to buy gifts, making sure that everything is in order. It's exhausting even before you start.
Yeah.
You are ready to go to a spa yourself. Wouldn't that be a great option?
Yeah. So you come up with some kind of reason, some story. You know, the turkey omelet didn't set well. And so now I've got I'm starting to shoot sparks out of both ends. And you just don't want to be here while that's happening. So let me get you a room.
The best option is to go ahead and go somewhere to some resort.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about anything. And listen, you went on vacation, not your fault. Let somebody else make the dinner. Let somebody else cook the meal.
Why not?
And why can't you be a guest, and be the critical one for a change.
I'm going to be the annoying relative. Now,
you be the annoying one. You'll find plenty to say. You'll do a good job aggravating. Why not?
Yeah, I know how to do that. I'm good at it. Now, let's say you're still, the shoe is on your foot, and you're the host. I guess really what it comes down to, Dr. Frieda, is we have to be patient and wait out the week, be the bigger person, and let any kind of weird, annoying comments roll off our backs. Isn't that right?
Well, the best thing to do is to change the topic.
Yeah.
Talk about things that you do like, so you have control over what's going on.
Yeah.
And you'll have a better time. Not only that, there'll be less resentment about the people around you,
mm-hmm.
and everybody will be more relaxed, because if you're the host, and you're uptight, it really ruins it for everyone. So whatever works, you don't even have to sit at the table.
Yeah.
You can help yourself and sit around the room somewhere. It doesn't have to be a traditional meal. It could be different interesting foods that are easy to eat.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, because even the meal itself is stressful.
Yeah.
Just imagine, you have to sit there. You have to make conversation. You have to eat something that's heavy that you don't even want to eat.
Yeah.
Because it's not even healthy for you, most of the things you're eating.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me? I want to pile that stuff on and never stop.
Well, then you can't move after that.
But you see, what I would do is I'd say, hey, Uncle Harry, over there in the east wing of my palatial suburban estate, they're talking about Donald Trump. You should get over there. And then he'll run over there and realize they don't have an east wing. But in the meantime, we pile on some extra cranberry sauce.
You'll get rid of him for a couple hours or something.
Of course.
It's not a bad thing. Or you can really get everybody in a place where they are in this uproar of talking about politics.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the debate? Do you think Bush was the right one in telling Trump that he was somebody who didn't have any substance and all he did was attack? And
now you're talking politics, Dr. Frieda. You're starting to annoy me.
Well, she's trying to warn you about the subject you were bringing up earlier.
That's what this is all about, isn't it? Annoying. I think we should talk about how to annoy people. Talk about Trump.
Yeah.
You don't have to find any other things to talk about.
Yeah, right.
That could take hours, and you could prevent your aunts and uncles and cousins or anybody to find out what you're doing with your career or anything. They'll get so carried away they won't know
they
what
will.
You're talking about.
Boy, I sure touched a button there, didn't I? Now, your book is in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's called What Price Power? An In-Depth Study of the Professional Woman in a Relationship. Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, just a pleasure to have you on the program, as always.
Take it easy and fun.
Yes, thank you. Well, I appreciate that. Have a happy new year, because I suspect the next time we talk to you, it'll be 2016 already.
Absolutely. A healthy one, you and your family and everyone in your staff.
Right back at you. Dr. Frieda, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's it for hour one of the program. Isn't she sweet?
She's something
else. She puts up with me. That's it for hour one of the program. There's so much more to come, including the top 10 Christmas songs of the year, the top Google searches, and end-of-the-year tax tips. Oh, my gosh, you forgot about sheltering your money from Uncle Sam. Well, we're going to help you with that in the second hour of the show. Those stories and more coming up here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we have for you this hour. I'm about to say a dirty word. Taxes. What you can do before the end of the year to avoid some of them. An expert joins us in a little bit with some tips for you. Plus, you know you're having a bad day when you return home after being lost at sea for more than a year and you get sued by a family who thinks you ate your partner.
That does sound like a bad day.
It's a real story. I'm Phil Hewlett. You heard Chris Martin there just a moment ago. That's the sum total of the friends on the show today, but I include you in that lot. You, indeed, are my friend for listening to this program. For what that's worth, I'll send you a Christmas card. So, Chris, hey, what do you say we get this hour going? We have some kind of hard news here coming from the White House into the backyard of our this part of the country where we are, where some pretty serious and bad news happened a week or so ago. What's the president doing out this neck of the woods?
Well, the president is going to be visiting San Bernardino tomorrow to spend time with the families and victims of the December 2nd attacks. And he won't do any public appearances while he's here. He's just going to meet with the victims and their families privately, which is an interesting take or an interesting way to approach the situation rather than addressing everybody publicly.
Yeah.
He will spend time with each person individually.
Do have a question, however. The president has yet to visit California without also scheduling fundraisers. Has he done that this time, or is it just a pure visit to San Bernardino to meet the families?
My understanding, it's going to be a pure visit to visit with the families, and then he will actually be heading to Hawaii to spend the rest of his holiday vacation there with his friends and family.
Gotcha.
He was on our radios and televisions this morning as well. He was giving a speech from the National Counterterrorism Center talking about his three-stage approach to safeguard the country from terrorist plots.
Are there any plots for the rest of the year, for the holidays?
He made us all feel very self-assured that there were no significant plots planned for our country, that we should all feel safe to travel, but always see something, say something.
Yeah, be
approach.
Vigilant.
Yes,
if, be even vigilant. If you see something insignificant, it's worth taking note and calling the authorities, you know. Or if you're a vigilante, would you handle things yourself if it was an insignificant threat? Let's say a guy was sitting on your front porch and he had one of those burner cell phones and he was talking to somebody and you clearly heard him say something that you thought the authorities should know about. Would you just go out on the front porch and hit him with a frying pan?
No. I probably would call 911 first, and what's he doing on your front porch? That's an invasion of privacy on its own.
Yeah, he's on my property.
Now, what about the neighbor who, like, piles stuff up in their yard, doesn't clean things, and sort of keeps the lights on late at night?
Yeah.
Do you think that is suspicion enough to place a call?
I don't think so. But how about the neighbor who stacks the sandbags up and puts razor wire on top of them?
That's
around his property.
That's the guy you probably want to get to know, because if things go down, he probably also has a bomb bunker.
Yeah,
and
Bunker Bob, that's his name.
Yeah, he's probably has a ton of guns and ammunition.
Yeah, friends with him.
Canned foods and all of that. Well, yeah, because
build an alliance.
If the Holocaust happens, you have a place to feel somewhat safe.
Right.
Sure. When the zombies start to attack.
Yeah, the zombies don't like sandbags.
No, they don't.
Or razor wire. Yeah, they tend to leave chunks of flesh on that razor wire. All right, why don't we switch from the political talk? Were we just having political talk?
Well, we quickly let it digress into talk about zombies and Bunker Bob.
It's a problem with this show. We never really get heavy into the politics. Or maybe that's a good thing about this show.
Could be.
All right, fine. See, even Dr. Frieda tried to go off on a tangent and talk politics, but we reeled her right back in, didn't we?
Well, you started her on that tangent by bringing up Trump.
Yeah, well,
during your Christmas holiday. Could you imagine that? That's a great way to get the family all together, right?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think about that Trump guy?
Yeah, right. And everybody starts throwing turkey legs.
Yeah,
it could be good.
The temperature would just go up from body heat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like close to half of America likes him, so what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be...
Talk about it.
Yeah, why not?
I dare you.
All right. Gravy fight! So here's what I want to do. It's the holidays, and we're done talking politics. We've had a lot of music on the program, and why not follow that thread and have some more music on the show? And you have another list for us. What do you have, Chris?
I do. The network that compiles the holiday playlist for retailers all across the country every year has released the top 10 Christmas songs that we'll be hearing and have been hearing every time we walk into a retail store. It seems to me to be a more modern list. I'm going to read it to you in reverse. Number 10 is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas by Ella Fitzgerald. Now, that's one of the classics, right?
Yeah, sure.
How about this one? Number 9 is What Christmas Means to Me by Train.
What?
Yeah. Pat Monahan and the boys.
Who put this list together?
This is from just the network that compiles holiday playlists for retailers.
Okay, fine.
Let's see. White Christmas by Bing Crosby is number 8.
Yeah.
Holly Jolly Christmas by Michael Bublé.
Bublé.
That's number 7.
Bublé.
Well, he's a bubbly guy.
All right.
Number 6, Underneath the Tree, Kelly Clarkson. Never heard that song.
Gosh,
I don't think, anyway.
I don't know if I have either.
Someday at Christmas by Jack Johnson, number 5.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, surfer dude who likes to let people believe he hangs out in Hawaii a lot.
He's another one that sits on a stool when he does concerts.
Yes, he does.
How about this one? Christmas Wrapping by The Waitresses. Do you know who The Waitresses
are?
Yes. Who's The Waitresses?
That's a classic song. That's the one where she's got nobody to hang out with for the 5th Christmas in a row, and she goes to the supermarket and meets some fellow, and then Christmas works out.
Okay, so it starts out as a sad song, then has an uplifting ending.
But it's got a nice bouncy beat to it. It's a good song. You should check it out. The Waitresses, one of the best modern Christmas songs, in my opinion, that have come along in a long time. I mean, that and... you know, you probably have Mariah Carey on the list. I'm just guessing.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a handful of modern songs that I say belong on the list of Christmas songs that go back to the 1940s.
And The Waitresses are one of them.
In my opinion, yeah. Mike Stark, are you on board with that?
I'd go with that, yeah.
Yeah, just a unique song, and it's a nice story from a, you know, kind of a punky new wave group, but just the same. It's a good tune.
And a good name for a band.
Yeah, and it's, in fact, has been covered by another group. This year or last, I forget which it is, but I heard a cover song walking around the Target or the Kmart or something. They were playing it.
That's cool.
That's where I get all my Christmas gifts. Kmart.
Target.
Yeah. All right. What else?
Well, we have the top 3, and we have a little bit of audio for you for each one of these.
Oh,
number
good.
3 on the list is Christmas Time by Christina Aguilera.
And every year I fall asleep laying in my bed, dreaming of a million sugar plums dancing in my head.
Not gonna lie, I have never heard this song until just now. Literally the first time.
The girl can sing, I gotta give it to her, but I don't know, I don't feel Christmassy listening to that.
Does not sound very Christmassy to me.
Let's get out some spiced hot cider and wrap some gifts to that song and see if it works.
Yeah, maybe as part of a collection, it's not so bad. Number 2, and this actually making some news headlines, is Mariah Carey, who was toppled from the number 1 spot.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So,
hard to deny that song.
Yes, very popular.
Yeah.
It does have that Christmas feel to it, very
mm-hmm.
catchy tune,
yeah.
And apparently has been at the number 1 spot on this list for
but
a very long
toppled,
time.
But it got toppled, huh?
It sure did by this classic, Wonderful Christmas by The Shins.
Oh.
I learned today that The Shins is a Paul McCartney-led band. It actually toppled.
No,
not even led by him?
You didn't even learn properly.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me learn you straight. That's a Paul McCartney song, and it's one of my least favorite modern Christmas songs. And The Shins, at least they took out that weird...
So The Shins, Paul McCartney is not in The Shins?
The Shins redid a Paul McCartney song from the 70s.
That's right. Paul McCartney's version came in number 17 on the list, by the way.
Yeah, no. How does that, the number one song?
Beats me.
Somebody call the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is a travesty.
Yeah. I just assumed it'd be one of those, like, have yourself a merry little...
Yeah. You know, at least it's... you get that date rape song, It's Cold Outside. There's like 12 versions of that song now. It's a date rape song.
Or like, I Saw Santa, or somebody kissing
crawling
Santa.
Up my chimney? Is that what it was? By the way, Chris, just a little correction from the audience. When you were talking about the guy with the sandbags in the bunker, Bunker Bob, remember?
Yes.
Yeah, you said that when the Holocaust comes... And the listener wants to correct you and say, when the apocalypse comes, the Holocaust is something much different.
Fair enough. The listener is correct.
Okay.
Although I think Holocaust can be used as a synonym for the end of days.
Well, it depends how it goes.
Mm-hmm. It's fine. I will accept the correction and say, yes, the apocalypse is a more appropriate term for the end of days.
Yeah, especially the zombie apocalypse.
Right. What about the zombie Holocaust?
I don't know that that's happened
yet. Maybe I should just stop saying Holocaust.
Yeah, right. It makes people feel weird when you talk about it. And that's why, coming up next, we'll talk about what people will be getting drunk on this Christmas. And also our 10 favorite holidays. And we'll find out if Christmas is at the top of that list or it's been toppled. And here's something. Perhaps, finally, we've gotten over our fear of ethnic food, because I have the 10 trendiest foods for 2015. That and a whole lot more in tax tips later in the program, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we just can't. This is for Ed in Pacoima, who brought up the whole deal about the Holocaust versus the apocalypse, and so we just want to put it to sleep now, put it to bed. What, Chris? You looked up the definition, right?
Yes, and Ed, I have a little bit of an update for you. According to the internet, the number one definition for Holocaust is the destruction or slaughter on a mass scale, especially caused by fire or nuclear war. Yeah. Synonyms include cataclysm, disaster, and catastrophe.
Oh, so you could be right then in your usage.
Yeah, I think it works as a synonym. The number two definition?
Yeah.
You want to know what that is?
You sure you want to go there?
Not really. I think we all know what the number two definition is.
Okay, fine. Our 10 favorite holidays are as follows, and I'll start at number 10. You ready?
Rock and roll.
Number 10, Valentine's Day. 1% of people say Valentine's Day is their favorite holiday. Number 9, Labor Day.
That's because we get a day off of work.
1% say Labor Day is their favorite. Number 8, birthdays. 1% say birthdays, their favorite holiday.
Didn't know that was considered a holiday.
Well, people take their birthday off. Very often they do, and they have a holiday. Number 7, Memorial Day. 1% of people say Memorial Day is their favorite holiday. It's not like a, hey, let's have a party Memorial Day. We're memorializing folks who paid the ultimate price to protect this country.
Yes.
2% said the number 6 answer, New Year's Eve.
Love that holiday. That's one of my favorites. That'd be higher on the list for me.
Yeah. You know what? Folks that go to Vegas or they go to Times Square or some other place like that where it's just a big party.
I like the feeling of turning a new page as well.
Number 5 say Easter. 3%. The number 4, oddly enough, is July 4th. 5% of people say July 4th is their favorite holiday.
Another great holiday.
I just realized I've been talking way too far away from the microphone for the entire show. Okay, so here I am now, and here I am now.
Wow.
I'm closer to you now, aren't I?
You sure are.
Okay. It's called the proximity effect.
Making my head vibrate.
Yeah. All right, number 3, Halloween. Say 9% of the people is their favorite.
Boy, that is a misstep there.
Yeah, I agree.
Missed the board on that.
Having so much more fun at some of the others in the list. 19% is the number 2 answer, Thanksgiving.
Great.
And runaway, domination, Christmas, 46%, number 1.
Mm, there you go. It's our favorite holiday, and it's right around the corner.
Yeah. All right. Now, speaking of it, there's nothing wrong with getting hammered on Christmas, apparently. Actually, it's
not according to my family.
Probably a sign there's something wrong, but don't let analyzing your demons stand in the way of a good time. This new survey found what people will be drinking this year on Christmas. Here's the breakdown.
Eggnog has to be number one.
Hard cider is number five. 12%. Flavored malt drinks like Smirnoff Ice, 15%. Liquor and cocktails, 42%.
Yeah.
46% beer.
Okay.
64% wine. Now, when you add this up, it comes out to 183%.
So you're saying this was put together by drunks?
Perhaps, but it also means that people are drinking a combination of these things.
Where does moonshine fall on that list? It's part of the liquors?
I don't know. Oh, there's more to this, by the way. Survey also found 80% of people will be with their immediate family while they're getting sauced, 45% with extended family, 21% with close friends, and 3% will be drinking with random acquaintances that they just met on the street.
Just pass the bottle.
Yeah. You've heard of Grubhub?
I haven't.
No.
I've heard of StubHub.
Yeah. Grubhub is a place where you go to, I think, get reservations for restaurants. I think it is. Or maybe they deliver food to you. You go to Grubhub and find one of their participating places, and you can get some food delivered.
You know what? I might have heard of that because I do think that there's a company like that that is being sued by In-N-Out, which is pretty popular here on the West Coast, a burger chain, because they would order In-N-Out food, go pick it up, and then deliver it to people that would order it for a premium.
Interesting.
And In-N-Out is having none of that.
Yeah, that's it. That'll set some kind of precedent. We'll see what happens. We'll follow that. Keep an eye on that story. Now, what would your grandfather say if he knew one day you'd be eating ramen, kale salads, and empanadas?
He would say, "What's the matter with you, you girly man?"
Yeah, he'd say, "What happened to meat and potatoes, boy?" Well, back to Grubhub. They talked to 35,000 takeout orders people, or they looked at them, they analyzed them, and came up with the trendiest foods for 2015. And I'll start at the back of the list, the 10 trendiest. Number 10, poutine. You know what poutine is?
You've told me what poutine is. I believe it's some sort of cheese product?
No, it's French fries and gravy, basically.
Oh, yeah.
It's from Canada.
Okay.
Thanks to our friends to the north for poutine. Kale Caesar salad.
Blech.
Have you had kale salad?
I haven't, actually. It's probably not bad.
It is actually very delicious, and it has a nice texture, a weird texture to it.
There's a lot of things that I think that I don't like, but I probably would if I tried it.
Yeah. I shouldn't say weird texture. It is weird compared to iceberg lettuce, but it's a nice texture. Ham and cheese empanadas.
Mm.
Number 7, brisket.
Love brisket.
I think I have brisket often. In the press dining room before the hockey games.
It's good stuff.
Patatas bravas. Basically, Spain's version of French fries.
Okay.
Can't say that I've had those yet, but I should. Deep dish pizza. Now, how strange is that? I mean, we've been having deep dish pizza, it seems like, for 20 years.
You know, I actually like thin crust pizza much better than I do deep dish.
I agree with you. Every now and then I'll like a deep dish, but I'll go for the thin, even the crackery kind.
Exactly. Crispy. Yeah, I like it to crunch when I bite into it.
Tonkotsu ramen. That's ramen noodles with pork and something, sometimes an egg.
All right.
I'll have some ramen from time to time. My kids love the ramen.
When you say ramen, are you talking about those like pillow soups that are in little packages and they're all crusted
into a
square? Well,
yeah, that's the main ingredient in that is MSG, but, you know.
Is there a different ramen than that one? That's the only ramen I know of.
Find yourself a good ramen restaurant.
Okay.
And sit down and get the little boiling pot in front of you.
Real
ramen. They'll start dropping things in that boiling water and you have some good ramen. It's a good experience, ramen restaurant. You should try it. Chicken tikka masala.
Yeah, I love chicken masala.
Roasted chunks of chicken and spicy sauce. Sounds Indian, but people say it was invented by an Indian restaurant in England, believe it or not. But I've had it at an Indian restaurant. Very good. Spicy miso ramen. That's ramen noodles and spicy red sauce. In fact, there's a couple places where they say, if you could finish this bowl of spicy ramen, then you win a prize.
Like a free T-shirt?
Yeah. And then number one, tacos al pastor. That's tacos with pork seasoned with pineapple, chilies, and spices. Now, this list, by the way, is not all that adventurous, if you ask me.
No, they didn't go out on a limb with anything.
What's your favorite food?
I really like pasta. Pasta, Italian dishes are my favorite. A good lasagna, a good spaghetti.
Yeah.
Those types of dishes. Mm-hmm. Fettuccine.
Yeah.
Love it. With some bread, and although my grandpa always said, why in the world would you have bread with pasta? Pasta is a bread.
Yeah. Let's you just sop up the sauce.
That's
with it.
Exactly.
And it throws some. Bread is an excuse to eat butter, is it not?
It gives you an excuse to eat butter, and like you said, you can soak up all that marinara and Alfredo, whatever's left on
the
dish.
Are you an adventurous eater?
Yeah, I'll try anything once.
Yeah, me too. That's the way I am. And in fact, if you asked me what my favorite food is, here, go ahead and ask me what my... Go ahead.
Hey, Phil, what's your favorite food?
I'm...
Sorry I didn't pick up on that earlier.
I'm pretty sure I haven't tasted it yet.
Oh, see? That is a worldly response. Wise man.
Now, we're getting to the point where you have to make some financial decisions to protect against undue exposure to taxes on your tax return for 2015. We have year-end tax tips from a guy who should know. He's an expert, with a capital E. He joins us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Okay, procrastinators, it may or may not be too late to do something about your 2015 income taxes, so let's find out from an expert. Joining us live is the author of the book Undiscovered Riches, Busting 7 Money Myths to Find Your Hidden Wealth. He's also a speaker and financial life coach whose advice has appeared in Money Sense magazine. Roel Sarmago, welcome to the show.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. Did I say the last name properly?
You said it excellently. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Now, let me ask you this right off the top. Is it indeed too late to do something to shelter some of your money from income taxes?
No, absolutely not. We've got about 2 weeks left to go in the year, and there's a lot that you can do.
Oh, okay. It seems like you really got to get busy then. 2 weeks, and it's also daunting. Where do we start? How about something everybody can do?
Something everybody can do is just look up tax credits. That's really the most accessible. I mean, you can just Google it. Just to give you some examples, education tax credits, if you've paid some tuition this year.
Yeah.
Health tax credits, mm-hmm. if you had some unreimbursed expenses this year.
Okay.
And then ranging into a little deeper into the topic, or taking a look at your 401k, if you're 55 years and older and you left gainful employment this year,
mm-hmm.
then you could actually take some money out because you don't have a whole lot of taxes to begin with, and you can avoid that 10% penalty.
Oh.
Wait, why is that? Because if you are unemployed, you can take out money from your 401k without having to pay the 10%?
If you're 55 years of age and old.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry, Chris.
There's
you missed an important point. Yes,
yeah.
Okay. Now, that is if you have a 401k. Do you find in your travels, in giving advice, that the majority of people have 401ks, or is it just crazy out there and most people don't?
You know, there's a staggering statistic. I don't know if there's been an official study, but there's a lot of abandoned or orphaned 401ks that people just plain forgot about.
Oh, so they have money floating out there that they could tap into.
Yeah, yeah. Think about, like, look at your resume and think, when I was younger, did I have a 401k at that company?
Maybe I did. I've been working forever at all kinds of different places. How do you find out? Because a lot of times the companies change hands. They change names. They were owned by this company, then they sold to another, and they merged, and they become something completely different.
Or when you leave, you roll it over into a new
Or maybe
company.
You don't, like what Roel's saying here. Maybe you just forgot that you had it, and you didn't even know you had it. So how do you find out?
Well, good old Google.
Yeah.
Try to connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
See if it's a publicly traded company. There will be very detailed records of the name changes over the years.
Yeah. And perhaps you've got some money floating around. Just think about it. If you got a 401k in, say, 1979, assuming they had them back then, and you went through, just follow, trace the stock market from the days when it was trading below 2,000, the Dow was, and now where it is today at 14,000 or so, how much more your money would be worth. It's just incredible to think about it. So that brings to mind capital gains. from investments. Yeah. What do you do with that with 2 weeks left in the year?
Well, for example, there's a few with capital gains. If you're more of an investor in stocks or stock market securities, you could add back some of the dividends if you received some.
Okay.
And I'm going to use a little bit of jargon, so forgive me. If you add back some of the dividends, it increases the cost basis. So then if you're selling the security this year, then you actually pay less capital gains.
Oh, right, because it's closer to a loss than it is to a gain. Because it costs you more per share, yeah.
If you've reinvested your dividends, then you could increase the what's called the cost basis.
Now, is that only assuming that the price per share is higher than it was when you bought it originally?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, how about...
And if you, for example, if you have a rental property...
Oh, yeah.
Rather than selling it before the end of this year, you could just delay it a couple of days. And the resulting capital gains can be deferred for another 12 months because now you realize a capital gain in 2016.
Yeah. Now, would the party you're selling the rental property to also benefit from waiting until January 2nd, or would they push for a closure on the sale this year?
It wouldn't really matter to them because they're purchasing the property, so they're not going to trigger a taxable event.
Yeah, I got you. All right. Is any of our Christmas spending tax deductible?
That's a good point. Actually,
and if not, why not? Why it should be, right? I mean, look at all the economy that we're generating in a few short weeks. Look at all we do for the country. I mean, it should be tax deductible in some way if it isn't. So what do you think? Is there anything out there?
You know, Phil, that's a perfect segue into the next level that I'd love to be able to teach people about. And this is what I do with my financial life coaching, is to let people know that you don't have to settle for just the regular tax credits like everyone else has. You could, if you can kind of expand your mind in a sense, is if you were to start a business, for example, every home-based business needs a computer, needs a smartphone, needs a home internet connection. Those are things that regular people still incur, but as a self-employed person, you can actually deduct those from your income and lower your income taxes.
And put a wrapping paper on them when you bring them home.
You could give it to yourself as a gift, but it is a legitimate business expense.
Yeah. How about leasing a car?
Similar. The laws change a lot with that, but if you're willing to make the lifestyle change and say, you know what, I'm going to keep my day job, but I'm going to start a self-employed business on the side, a legitimate one, of course, then a portion of your car expenses could also be tax deductible.
You need to keep good records now, don't you?
You do. You need to keep very good records.
Yeah. All right. Now, people tend to donate. We're speaking to Roel Sarmago. He knows a thing or two about money management and taxes and all that. People this time of year, Roel, tend to donate more money and goods to their favorite charities or charities that they just met for the first time, because the charities get active looking for new people to donate this time of year as well. So what do we need to know about donations?
If you can get a charitable receipt for a reasonable amount, that's the key, is that you're not trying to game the system by donating something that and having it on paper that it's worth a lot more than what it's surely worth.
Right. So if you go to the Salvation Army with a box of old undershirts with stained orange, yellow pits, and you bring a receipt back that says it was $500 worth of donations, now that's not honest, is it?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
But if it's something that is, maybe it's furniture, and you can get a reasonable tax receipt written up for it, then yeah, that's a reduction in your income taxes.
What's the biggest mistake people make with their money this time of year as it applies to their taxes?
As it applies to their taxes, is getting too aggressive with the deductions. The key word is it has to be reasonable. So imagine you had to defend the tax deduction. How would you defend it?
Right. Because Uncle Sam says, oh, no, wait a minute. They just did this, 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 and this for a grand total of $50,000 in a matter of 10 days during the taxable year. That's a red flag, and you're going to get audited, aren't you?
Potentially. It depends on what kind of business you're starting up.
Right, yeah.
There could be a business that could actually justify that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You've got a website, do you not?
I do. I have a website called freefinanciallifecoaching.com.
Free Financial Life Coaching. We will link that on our links page and call on you again if it's all right with you, sir. Roel Sarmago is the author of the book, What Price Power? An In-Depth Study of the Profession. No, that's not your book. Hold on a second. That's the last guest's book. Your book is Undiscovered Riches, Busting 7 Money Myths to Find Your Hidden Wealth. And it's available in the store, by the way, in the number one spot right now at philhewlettandfriends.com. We recommend that you go check it out because Roel knows a thing or two about this stuff, and you've impressed us, sir. We hope to talk to you again. Happy New Year to you, and good luck with your taxes.
Thanks, and same to you, Phil.
All right, thank you. There he goes. Freefinanciallifecoaching.com. Anytime the word free is in there, I'm all for it.
One of my favorite four-letter words.
Yeah, all right. Taxes is a five-letter word, is it not?
The plural form is,
yeah. Yeah. Now, there are plenty of news reporters out there. Most of them just are good to look at. And others are on the job, and they're doing their duty to keep America safe. For freedom and justice, right? We have just such an example for you. You have no idea what I'm talking about, but when you hear it, you'll be glad that you heard it. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Steve Jobs' widow owns more Disney stock than anyone in the world. Lauren Powell Jobs is her name. She owns about 131 million shares, which is, it calculates out to 7.5% of Disney. Steve got the stock when Disney bought Pixar from him back in 2006. So we did the math. It works out to about $150 or so billion dollars that if she were to just sell it today, she could buy all the Apple product that she wanted to.
Man, I wish I was related to her.
Yeah.
Right. And that she liked me, of course.
Yeah.
Be like that cool nephew.
So you watch the TV news, and the anchors say, oh, well, we have a situation out in the valley where police are on the scene, and there may be a man holed up in a house holding hostages. Let's go live to our reporter, Chris Martin. Chris? Hi, guys. I'm here out in the valley standing outside a house where police are on the scene, and there may be a guy inside with a gun holding hostages. Let's go to the tape. We're here in the valley where there's a guy inside a house, perhaps with a gun, perhaps holding hostages, and police are investigating, and the SWAT team is on the way, and we have an officer to tell us what's going on. Officer, tell us. Well, there's a suspect, perhaps in the domicile. He may be armed with a handgun, and there may be hostages, but we won't know until the investigation continues. So that's it from the scene, guys, here in the valley, where there may be a guy inside a house, perhaps holding hostages, and he may be armed, and we'll bring more information as it becomes available. Back to you in the studio.
But don't worry, we'll cover this story with no actual updates at 6, 6.30, 7, 7.30, 8 o'clock, and don't forget about the 11 o'clock
evening news. As our extensive team coverage continues. Right. Now, that's the news business in a nutshell right now, at least the TV news business. And every now and then, there's a gem from a reporter. And you have to go out of the big market to see the gem, generally speaking. And Iowa is a small market, is it not?
It sure is. Yeah, we got our hands on one of those gems. A TV news reporter in Iowa actually helped solve a bank robbery case live on the air. He's doing a report on this caper that happened in front of this bank the day before when this happens.
Tyler, just 24 hours ago, this bank in North...
That's that guy right there.
What?
That's the robber.
Oh, that's the robber. This is live TV, folks. That's the robber just went by, according to the bank employee. So I gotta go here and call 911. I'll talk to you later.
Then he drops the mic and runs away from in front of the camera and goes and calls 911.
Good. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. He actually received some sort of ribbon for it from the executives at the bank. It was made of paper. You know, they made a big spectacle of it.
How about that?
The criminal had returned to the scene of the crime. He was thinking about doing a second hit, had no idea or was completely oblivious to the fact that there was a camera in front of the bank.
Yep.
He was pulled over later on the highway.
Thank God that most criminals are morons, right?
Guy was hit with two accounts of attempted robbery.
There are only a handful of masterminds criminals. The rest of them are complete idiots.
And those handful of few masterminds, we make movies about them.
Yeah, and they do the majority of the damage, frankly. Here's something. 36-year-old Jose Alvarenga of El Salvador. He's a fisherman. He went missing during a fishing trip off the coast of Mexico back in November of 2012. And he'd paid a 22-year-old guy named Ezequiel Cordoba to go along with him. It might be Ezekiel, but it's spelled...
That's what I'm thinking.
It's a weird spelling. E-Z-E-Q-U-I-E-L. So we'll just call him Zeke. But a storm knocked out their communication system, washed away their supplies, and they wound up stranded in the Pacific Ocean for months. They survived on rainwater, eating fish and birds, but one of the birds made Zeke sick, and he died.
The bird made Zeke sick because it had a poisonous snake in its stomach.
Did it?
I read this story, so I know some of the details.
Well, that's an interesting story. Now, Jose eventually washed up on the shore of the Marshall Islands after 15 months lost at sea. It's the longest anyone has ever survived at sea. Then he visited Zeke's family to tell them what happened, and things seemed okay. But now the Cordobas, Zeke's family, think that Jose ate their son, and they're suing him for $1 million. Jose says, no, it's not true. And he says he just pushed Ezekiel's body overboard after he died. He also wrote a book about his 15-month ordeal at sea called 438 Days, and even though it's not selling that well, the Cordobas want a piece of the profit.
Right. I read the story. It sounds like a little bit of greed and jealousy. The lawyer says, look, he's not even making that much money.
Yeah.
For one, and for two, yeah, he tossed the body overboard. Although apparently he talked to the corpse for about 6 days before he threw it overboard.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, just to try to keep himself somewhat sane. Although that sounds like insane behavior.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Oh, you know what? You have another list.
Sure do. End of the year. There's lists popping up all over the place.
Give it to me.
Okay, this is a list that Google has released. It's its year-end list with the most searched terms of 2015.
Yep.
We'll go in reverse order because that's what we do on this program.
Uh-huh.
Number 10, coming straight out of Compton. Ooh. NWA, straight out of Compton.
Okay.
Number 9, the video game Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Video game's very popular with a segment of the society.
Sure.
Number 8, Chris Kyle. I think we all remember who that is, a former Navy SEAL who inspired the movie American Sniper.
Oh, yeah.
How about number 7, the digital game Agar.io? Have you ever heard of Agar.io, Phil?
No. Sounds like a virus to me.
Some stuff happening underground that we know nothing about. Number 6, Paris, for understandable reasons. Number 5, Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yeah.
Also for understandable reasons.
People want to know how to spell her name.
Yeah, Rousey.
And there's no H in Ronda.
No, there's not. Number 4, Caitlyn Jenner. Number 3, American Sniper.
Yeah.
Number 2, Jurassic World, which I can only imagine people were searching Jurassic World to figure out how in the world that terrible movie became number 1 at the box office.
Right.
And number one, the number one most searched term in 2015 happened later in the year, and it is Lamar Odom.
What?
Lamar Odom, the number one most searched term on Google.
Is he still alive?
In 2015.
We've stopped searching.
Well, you know, some of the reports that we're getting now say that he is still alive, but he sort of slips in and out of lucidity and sometimes forgets his name, forgets where he's at.
Oh.
So apparently not all as well.
We're expecting a miracle recovery from that incident that he had with the two prostitutes. There's a 15-year-old in Florida named Lee Dittman. She has brittle bone disease. She's had dozens of broken bones. She spent so much of her life at Shriners Hospital for Children in Tampa. She says it's like a second home to her. And back when she was 2 years old, she said she wanted to use every one of her birthdays to raise money for the place. So for the last 12 years in a row, that's what she's done. Her family throws a huge birthday party every year, but instead of presents, she asks people to donate. Now, there's a big wall at the hospital with plaques listing the names of all the donors who've given at least $1 million. So that was her goal, which is kind of lofty for a little kid. And she admits it was partly because she just thought having her own plaque would be cool. But her 15th birthday party was back in September. She raised $150,000 this year, and that put her over the top.
Over the $1 million goal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, since her second birthday, she's been raising money. Now she's officially in the $1 million club, and the hospital held a ceremony this past Monday where they unveiled her plaque. It has inspirational messages on it about the holidays, about being generous and with all your likes instead of being cynical.
Righteous.
Yeah. How about that?
Digging it.
Yeah. Good for her. What's her name again?
Mm-hmm.
Got to get her name. Lee, L-E-I-G-H, Dittman.
Okay. Could be Lay.
Good little kid. I don't think it is. I think it's Lee. Hey, that's it for today's program. Thanks for being along for the ride. What a ride. Happy New Year. We'll be back with one more show before the end of the year. So Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you next time. Go to the contact page of PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. Leave a contact. Leave your information. Not a contact. Leave a comment. On Twitter as well, we're at Faf Show. We're on Facebook. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden. I left an envelope there for you, son. Check it out. And for Chris and Brooke and everybody, I'm Phil. Talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.